Hello friends, greetings to you all, and welcome to another enjoyable half hour of Christian Radio Fellowship. This is your friend Harry Renton speaking, and it is my pleasure on behalf of my colleagues of the Voice of Melody Victoria to present today's program of Times of Refreshing. We do look forward each week to sharing this time with you. As you listen to our selection of gospel music and the meditation we share with you from the Word of God, it is our prayer that God will touch your heart and that you will be spiritually enriched and encouraged in your life today. Our first recording features the Lundstrom team with the song entitled, Who Am I? But before we listen to their rendition of this song, let's be reminded of what David the psalmist said in Psalm 8 and verse 4. Having contemplated the awe-inspiring handiwork of God in creation, David could say, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my Then I ask myself a question, who am I?
The story is told about a crippled man who had been cruelly nicknamed by some of the neighbourhood boys as Old Rattlebones. One day they saw him hobble up the front steps of the house where Freddie, the ringleader, lived. Although Freddie was worried, he tried to conceal his anxiety in front of his friends by saying, "Go on, Old Rattlebones," he shouted, tell my mother, see if I really care. The man sadly replied, you wouldn't call me names if you knew why I walk like this. Reaching the front door, he rang the bell and was invited in by Freddie's mother. After a few minutes, she came out and called Freddie to come inside. As the boy sat down nervously, the man said to him, when you were just a baby, your nurse took you out for a stroller ride near the river. There was a steep bank next to the sidewalk. When your nurse was distracted for a moment, the handle slipped from her grasp and the stroller plunged into the river. I was nearby, so I jumped into the icy water and brought you safely to shore. The cold water aggravated my rheumatic condition, and since then, walking has been very difficult. That's why I walk the way I do. Freddie began to cry, ashamed that he had been so cruel and unkindly in his remarks to the one who had risked his life for him. I'm sorry, I didn't know what you had done for me. Thank you for saving my life. Please forgive me. Friends, this story reminds me of another, of whom we read of in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and verse 3. Here, the prophet Isaiah, writing some 500 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, says of him that he was despised and rejected of men by those for whom he gave his life. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, we see the prophetic words of Isaiah being fulfilled. In verse 11 of John, chapter 1, we read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. We might pause here and ask the question, who were his own people? In a general sense, this might refer to all mankind, as it is true that almost all mankind rejected him. But in a special sense, the Jewish nation was his chosen earthly people. When he came into the world, he presented himself to the Jews as their Messiah, but they would not receive him. Throughout the four Gospels, we see over and over again that he was set at naught. He was treated as an outcast. He was despised and rejected by them. An unknown poet has penned these words, they hated and despised my Lord, found fault with the words he taught. They little knew he had come to die, that his blood their souls had bought. My dear friends, to despise and reject the Son of God is to be blind to all that he has done and accomplished in his death at Calvary. To despise and reject him is to deny yourself of all the spiritual blessings that flow from his effective sacrifice on the cross. To despise and reject the Savior is to offend the God who loves you with an everlasting love. It is denying him the joy and the delight of receiving you into his kingdom as one of his own children. To despise and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you are literally turning away from the greatest possession you could ever have, that is, everlasting life. Life without end, eternal life. Now, after we listen to our next recording, we will share some precious thoughts with you on what eternal life is.
Outside of Jerusalem, on Golgotha's hill, a Savior was dying to do the Father's will, and through all the suffering and the pain that he bore, well, he just loved me more and more. Oh, never know, but he just loved me more and more. Jerusalem, I'll see my dear Lord, and all of the treasures that heaven can afford. And my eyes have never seen all that he has in store, for he just loves me more and more. Oh, he just loved me more and more. On the old cross, my sin he bore. Why he loves me so, I'll never know. But he just loves me more and more. But he just loves me more and
the words eternal life occur frequently in the authorized New Testament scriptures. There are at least 29 references to it. This shows to us the great importance that God has placed on this wonderful truth in His Word, the Bible. It is clear from these many references that God desires for us to know what it is, what its real value is, and how it can be obtained. The word eternal has only one meaning. It is the endlessness of duration, and that can be either in heaven or in hell. The word life here is not mere existence. It is not speaking of the natural life that you and I live day by day. No, it is real life. Life in its fullest, deepest, highest, and broadest sense. It is the very life of Christ, the life we receive the moment we exercise faith in Him as our own personal Saviour. This we know from the words of John chapter 3 and verse 16, and also in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. There we read, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Friends, from the many scripture references to eternal life, we learn of its necessity, why it was part of God's wonderful plan of redemption. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 it says, "Through one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all, for that all have sinned." Through one man's disobedience to God, sin brought in physical, spiritual, and eternal death. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Although all men have sinned, and all are guilty before God, yet it is not God's will that any should perish. The truth is, man being dead in trespasses and sins needs life, spiritual life, a life by spiritual birth. Such life embraces eternal life, life that you can have today. The gospel presents eternal life as the free gift of God to all who accept it by faith. Again, I quote Romans 6 and verse 23, the second part of the verse. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is indeed a wonderful aspect of eternal life. It is offered to us as a free gift from God, who is in himself eternal. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27, we read that God is eternal. When our Lord Jesus came into the world, he was God manifest in the flesh. He was the God-man. He was deity veiled or wrapped in human flesh. By incarnation, God entered into manhood in order to meet man's need and provide for him eternal life. God is the author of eternal life, and in the fullness of a compassionate heart, he sent his beloved Son into the world that we through him might have life.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him,
public ministry, he revealed the purpose of his coming into this world. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it is recorded of him saying, "I am come that ye might have life, and have it more abundantly." Again, he could say, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." John 10 and verse 28. Friends, before we could ever possess eternal life, it was necessary and needful for the Lord of life to bow his head in death. The demonstration of God's love to all mankind is the most amazing thing in all of this world's checkered history. Let's present it in this way. God took the thing he hated most and laid it upon the person he loved most. That which God hated most was sin. The person he loved most was his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And yet he took the thing he hated most and laid it upon him whom he loved most. This demonstration of God's love to us is seen in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, and also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. Sinless himself, the Lord Jesus Christ bore the sin of the world in his own body on the cross. The just one suffering for us, the unjust. His death was the divinely appointed means whereby God could clear the guilty sinner and provide for the sinner eternal life. My friends, life, eternal life, is bound up in the one who is the resurrection and the life. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 35 we read, "Whoso findeth me, findeth life." And in 1 John 5 and verse 12 it says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Could words of Scripture be any clearer? The possession of Christ through an act of faith in receiving Him as Saviour brings with it the assurance of life everlasting. John chapter 1 and verse 12 clearly states that as many as received Him, that is Christ Jesus, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Listener, this eternal life which we speak of today can never be forfeited when once it has been received, because it rests completely and securely upon the unchanging purpose and word of God and the all-sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ and the efficacy of His sacrifice, which are as stable as God's eternal throne.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Paid the debt and set me free. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and set me free.
Friends, as I am persuaded of the realities of heaven and all its blessedness, of hell and its terrible agonizing torments, of the salvation of God and its eternal joys, I am led to ask you this personal question. Have you received the gift of eternal life that God offers to you so freely? This wonderful gift, this unspeakable gift, this matchless gift can be yours today through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. We remind you again, friends, of what the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, in closing our time of fellowship, we would remind you of our cassette offer. A copy of today's program is available to all our listeners, free and postage paid. If you would like a copy for yourself or to pass on to a friend or neighbour, then we invite you to write to us at this address: Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale 31400. When requesting your copy, please state in your letter this number, 920, program number 920. The address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale 31400. Friends, our broadcast today has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through His people. We have enjoyed your company today and we thank you for tuning our way. Till next we meet, this is Harry Venton for the Voice of Melody Victoria, wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.
Call on the Lord.